Good afternoon, God's people. The title of the message today is Come Out of Sodom and Don't Look Back. Come out of Sodom and don't look back. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that story is in the Bible, has a lesson and a warning to God's people. It was a warning to ancient Israel. It's a warning to us today. And it's a warning to the people in the future. So let's take a look at Genesis 18. Take a look briefly at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18 and verse 16. Let's start with verse 1 and 2. And the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So Abraham's sitting at his tent door, and all of a sudden he sees three individuals, and he recognizes one as the Lord. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Verse 16. And the men, so he prepared some food for them, and then afterwards, the men rose up from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? And that's because of the seed, his seed, Jesus Christ, or the seed of Jesus Christ. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken unto him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. So that's interesting. So this might indicate that people in Sodom and Gomorrah were being oppressed and they were being mistreated and they were crying up to God for relief. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the two angels, they continued to Sodom, and Abraham speaking with the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And then, of course, we know that Abraham begins to negotiate with God. He says in verse 24, because he's concerned for Lot and his family, he says, By chance, if there be 50 righteous men, will you destroy and not spare the place? For 50 righteous men, if you find. And then verse 26, and the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place. And then Abraham says, in verse 28, peradventure, suppose there's five less than 50. Suppose there's only 45. And the Lord said, If I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And then so Abraham's still a little unsure. And so he said, Well, how about this 40? And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 40's sake. And then he says, How about 30? He says, I will destroy for 30. And then in verse 31, suppose there's 20. He says, He will destroy for 20. And then he says in verse 32, What about 10? If you find 10 righteous, and the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 10 righteous people. And the Lord went on his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, he sat in the gate of Sodom, which meant that he had some prestigious position in Sodom, or respected position. He sat at the gate. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my Lord. So he knew they... You remember, angels can appear as human beings. So when we're in the kingdom of God, you know, we could we'll have our glorified form, but then we could appear as humans. He says, I pray you into your, even though they were in human form, he knew they were very important people, they were very special people. I pray you, turn into your servant's house and stay there all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street at night. So the angels are kind of playing hard to get. And they say, no, we'll stay here. But Lot kept pressing them, and they turned in unto him, and they entered his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So when we're spiritual beings, and we're in human form, we could eat. I don't know if we enjoy the food, or we're just doing it for the sake of the people who were with. But before they lay down, the men of the city came. So now the men of the city have heard that there's two strangers in town. Even the men of Sodom, they compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So old people, young people, the men came to Lot's house. And they called unto Lot and said, where are the men which came in to you this night? Bring them out that we may know them. And that means sexually know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door and said, so he went outside, and Lot said to them, I pray you, brethren, don't do this wicked deed. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. So this tells us that women were not as valued in society. You know, for a father to say, take my two daughters, you know, and is, I can't understand it, but that was the case. And they said, and the men outside said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, to talk about Lot. You know, he came here to live, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with you than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break in the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men, so the angels have powers, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, do you have here any besides your son-in-law and your sons? Has thou here any besides? A son-in-law, sons, daughters, and whatever you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord that sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So, he's telling them, we got to get out of here. God's going to destroy the city. And they mocked him, you know. Have you been drinking too much or what? So, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So Lot takes his two virgin daughters. His other daughters and their husbands stayed behind. They didn't heed the warning. So that's a lesson for us. We have to heed the warning. We have to, when God is prophesying, when God is, the Holy Spirit is telling us to do something, to flee, physically, or to come out of the evil by the transformation of your mind through the Holy Spirit, where we could live in the society but not be part of the society like we are today. When the Lord tells us to come out, we need to take heed and not be a part of the world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we should hate the world. You can't love God and the world. And while he lingered, so Lot was, Lot's kind of, what about the rest of my family? The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for that your life, the angel said. Look not behind thee, neither stay you in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in your sight, and thou you have magnified your mercy, which you have shown me, saving my life. He says, I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. So he doesn't want to go to the mountain. He ends up in the mountain anyway later on. But he says, behold now, this city is near to flee unto it, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And he said, the angel said, okay, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which you have spoken. Haste, make haste, escape there, for I cannot do anything till you be there, till you get there. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. So Lot actually saved that city, because if Lot did not go to that city, it would have been destroyed. And we're going to see that not only is Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed, but also two other cities, the plain cities of Admah and Zeboiim. So there's four cities that are destroyed, and you can read about that in Deuteronomy 29, verse 23, about the other two cities. Verse 23, so the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Brimstone is it's sulfur or lava. When a volcano erupts, it erupts with lava and sulfur, brimstone. That's called brimstone. And the word means, brimstone means the stone that burns, And so this came raining down on Sodom and Gomorrah and the other two cities. And he overthrew these cities and all the plain cities, two more cities, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So that's a lesson for us today. When we're coming out of sin, when we're coming out of this world, we're not to look back. We're not going to, we cannot have our hearts yearning for the sin or liking our old life. You know, we're a new creation. The old man, old woman is dead, and we're not to want to go back to that type of lifestyle. And so this is a very important lesson. She became a pillar of salt. Now, I always wondered what that meant. I always thought, well, she kind of crumpled up into like a pile of salt. But no, she was a pillar of salt. A pillar means a structure. So she just became crystallized. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and set Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. In verse 30, it says that Lot left Zoar and went up to the mountains. So, again, the lesson here is, again, that we are to come out of sin, we are to come out of evil, and we're not to look back in terms of our hearts, our desires. We know that when God led ancient Israel out of Egypt, and Egypt was a type of sin, and they were wandering in the wilderness, they wanted to go back, many of them. They wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, oh, Moses, has he taken us here to kill us? We're going to die. We have nothing to eat, nothing to drink. So they were looking back, you know, when Moses was in the mountain speaking to God, creating the Ten Commandments, you know, they created their own idol. They wanted, which they had learned from ancient Egypt. So in their hearts, they were in Sodom, if you will. They wanted to go back to Sodom or Egypt. And that's a lesson for us, because God had to punish them, and they all died in the wilderness. They didn't make the promised land, those under those over 20 years old. So let's take a look at a little bit about life in Sodom and how God compares Judah and Jerusalem to Sodom. This is after Israel has gone into captivity, but this is going to focus on Judah and Jerusalem before they go into captivity. But first, let's go to Luke 17 and verse 28. Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded." So life in Sodom was pretty normal as to life anywhere else. People were buying and selling, they were planting, they were building, they were living their lives. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So he's talking about the future now. He's talking about when Jesus Christ returns. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Again, the lesson. Remember Lot's wife, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. So when the time comes to flee Jerusalem, they've got to go. They can't go down and take their possessions and have their mind on what they're leaving. God tells them they have to go. Get a little more information about this in Matthew 24 and verse 15. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We cannot love this life. We have to love and look forward to the kingdom of God, because we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ right now. The feast was an important reminder, because when we go to the feast, we're coming out of this world spiritually, and we're going to a place where we have services for 8 days, and that represents the kingdom of God. And then we come back into the world, but we're not part of the world. We're ambassadors. We come back as lights in this dark world. So we're never part of this world. Matthew 15 and verse 18. No. Matthew 24, verse 15, sorry. Jesus says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoever reads it, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." So it's similar parallel. So this is at the time when the great tribulation is going to occur. And "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return to take his clothes." And so again, during the time when the great tribulation is about to start and God is telling the people of Judea to flee, they got to flee. They got to come out of the sin, come out of the place of sin where the beast power is there. And they have to flee into the mountains and not look back, and look toward God. That should have been the title. Don't look back, but look toward God. That should have been, might have been a better title. Ezekiel 16 and verse 48. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. And verse 48. "As I live, says the Lord God, Sodom, your sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, you and your daughters." So God is admonishing Judah and Jerusalem. He's saying, what you're doing is worse than what Sodom and her sisters did. Sisters meaning Gomorrah and the two plain cities. "Behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom." So we learn a little bit more. Pride. That was one of the problems in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Pride. God hates pride. God wants us to have a contrite spirit, a repentant spirit, and to be humble. Fullness of bread. So they had what their needs met in abundance. They were living well. And when that happens, when you're idle, what do you usually do? You look for some, you know, you look, you're going to be involved in something that you normally wouldn't be involved in, you know. If people are idle, they tend to call up other people, gossip, you know, so it said abundance of idleness was in her. So people, so there's a lot of idleness. So let's look for pleasure. Let's look for sexual pleasure. And so that was some of the issues in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty. Haughty is extreme pride. And committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. So God is telling Judah and Jerusalem that you're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, today we are way, way worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Way, way worse. In Sodom and Gomorrah, men did not marry men, and women did not marry women. As far as we know, there was no transgenderism. Men weren't saying they're women, and women weren't saying they're men, and weren't, if their children felt that way, they weren't trying to, make men into women and women into men, not that they had the ability to do that. I don't know, there doesn't seem to be indication that there probably was abortion, but not to the extent that we have it today here. To disregard the life of innocent babies, of course they might have been engaged in child sacrifices and other issues, in terms of their religion, and corruption that is in this world, and particularly in the United States, is great. So, you know, we have a society that is worse than Sodom, today. And it's going to get even worse when we come to the time of the end and the time of Babylon, If you go to Jeremiah 23, verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem, this is God speaking, a horrible thing. So the prophets, the leaders, they commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. And then he tells them that he's going to punish the prophets. So no one turns back from their wickedness. And they're like Sodom and Gomorrah. He's talking about Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah 3 and verse 8. Isaiah 3 and verse 8. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. They're not ashamed of their sin. And, you know, it's the same way today. People aren't ashamed of their sin. They're not ashamed of homosexuality. They're not ashamed of abortion. They promote these things. They're not ashamed to promote the ideas of evolution. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. So, as it says, evil is good and good is evil. In Matthew 11, Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 23. And Jesus says, speaking about Capernaum, in which Jesus preached, "And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven," so they exalt themselves, "shall be brought down to hell," or the grave. "For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." So that's interesting. So in the day of judgment, the people of Sodom are going to come up. But he says it's going to be more tolerable in the day of judgment. So he's indicating here that people of Sodom and Gomorrah, when they come up in the judgment, they're going to repent when they know the truth. But he condemns Capernaum because he's saying, look at all the mighty deeds I did, and you didn't respond. If I had done this in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. So today, again, big cities like New York City and others are really representative of Sodom. They become, our society has become evil. They throw God out of government. They throw God out of the schools, even though our nation was founded on the Bible and on God, God's word. Go to Romans 1 and verse 18. Romans 1. So today we also want to come out of her. Romans 1. I remember Mr. Davis, our former pastor, used to say, I come out of Babylon every day. And that's because he lived in a place called Babylon, Long Island. So he said, "Yeah, I come out." Yeah, but he went back at the end of the day, though. Okay, so Romans 1 and verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So people who are unrighteous and ungodly, they're gonna have the wrath of God against them. Sodom and Gomorrah did, right? Israel was put into captivity. "Because that which may be known of them is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Nobody has an excuse for not believing in God. You just go outside and look at nature. You just think about a baby being born. You just think about the universe. I mean, all these things God has created and God has made. And so we could see God's eternal power and the proof of God's existence by observation. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." So they made all their idols. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart." And, people commit a sexual perversion to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie." Truth is not truth anymore. "And worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So people are serving the creation. Oh, climate change. The world's coming to an end. We all have to have electric vehicles. We all have to. We can't use fertilizers on our farms anymore. We've got to get rid of all the cows. cow dung. So they're worshiping the creation and not God. We don't have to worry about climate change because we know that the world isn't going to be destroyed by climate change. We have the Bible. We know that it's not going to be a factor. God's going to cause the climate to be changed in a drastic way to punish people in the plagues. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. It's a good scripture condemning lesbianism. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Do you see these things today? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they know that. Doesn't matter. Not only do they continue to do the same thing, but they have pleasure in them that do them. So even though they know these things are bad, they continue to do them and they get other people to. Remember, it says in the end time, the love of many will wax cold. The love of many will wax cold. And we see that today. We see that today. 2 Peter 2 and verse 6. 2 Peter 2 and verse 6. Peter writes, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to those that are living ungodly. This is what you could look forward to. And that's what's going to happen, right? When Christ returns, the beast power is going to fight them, try to fight Christ. Christ and the angels are going to, destroy them. And many of them will be burnt up also. And delivered, verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So, Lot living in Sodom was not a happy camper. I don't know why he stayed there, but he was vexed. He was troubled hearing the filthy conversation and the lifestyle of that city. For that righteous man dwelled among them. So here we see that Lot was righteous. Lot was righteous. In seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So are we vexed? Are we vexed every day? When we get up in the morning and turn on the news and we hear of the terrible things that are going on? Right here in New York City, the rapes, the murders in the world, Ukraine, Russia, the politics, the lying, the cheating, deceiving. Are we vexed? We should be. Because we are holy, we are righteous, we have God's righteousness in us. And every day, like Lot, we're living in Sodom. We're living here in a very sinful city. And, where they welcome homosexuality, they welcome transgenderism. They want to promote it in the schools. They want to promote these evil concepts in schools to our young children. We should be vexed every day and pray, your kingdom come, Father. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of trials and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Now, so we are to come out of this world. Now, how do we do that? If you go to Romans 12, verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2, And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Through the Holy Spirit in you. That's how you renew your mind. You're developing the character of Christ, you're developing the mind of Christ, and you're not conformed to this world. And when you're tempted, you know it's wrong, and you have the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit telling you no, and you resist. You know, we don't go out to drunken parties, we don't get involved in sexual encounters, one-night stands or whatever. We're not conformed to this world. We don't cheat other people, we don't try to take advantage of people or our employers, or we operate on a spirit of love, of love. So we cannot be conformed to this world. That's how we come out of the world. And we're not to look back. We're not to look back on the things that we left behind, but we're to move forward and to walk in God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. Sexual sins are one of the most prominent sins ever since the beginning. And what does Paul tell us in verse 18? Flee fornication. That's sexual sins. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. And then he reminds us that, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So we're bought with a price. We're bought, when we accept Jesus Christ's blood for atonement of our sins, we become his. And we no longer serve sin, but we serve Christ. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, and verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So we have to be careful, you know, people in the, that are God's people. You know, if you're single, you know, you don't want to be yoked with an unbeliever. You don't want to marry someone who's an unbeliever. You know, you don't want to have friends who are unbelievers. Because, you know, they're going to leaven the lump a little bit, you know. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple. It reminds us again. We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and don't look back. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In 1 John 2, and verse 15, 1 John 2, and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we can't love the world. If God's living in us, we can't love this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So let's now go to the end time, Revelation 17. Revelation 17. And during that time, another great city is going to come to represent sin. And that's the city of Babylon. And this has parallels with Sodom. If you go to Revelation 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. So this is during the bowl plagues, the seven bowl plagues. And talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. The great whore. with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So this woman represents Babylon the Great. Now, Babylon the Great, Babylon's going to be an actual city, but the woman is representing the way of life. The way of life at that time is also going to be called Babylon. And she represents the church at that time that is cooperating with the beast power. And basically, she is corrupt, this church. And verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the, some say this is the Catholic Church. I don't know, maybe. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. So this church is going to persecute the saints. And where are the saints? And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. Doesn't mean that our names are written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, but it's saying whose names were not written at that time in the book of life from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, you had the book of life. But it's saying those at that time whose names are not written in the book of life. It's not saying that the predestination idea that, you know, God knew who we were before the foundation of the world, that he would call us. That doesn't make sense because we have free will. And, okay. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So some say this is Rome because there are seven mountains supposedly in Rome. And this is a Catholic church. And there are seven kings, talking about the heads. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. And the ten kings which you saw are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So when the beast comes into power, there are going to be ten kings that are going to align with him. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. So we know that the beast power is going to make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he says unto me, the waters which you saw where the horse sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this whore, this woman, has a lot of influence in controlling peoples and nations and languages. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. So for some reason, these ten kings which are aligned with the beast power and the woman... At some point, they turned against the woman, and they turned against the church. They shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So they're going to destroy this false church. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So we see that the beast has sort of a rival at that time, which is this church, very powerful church. You know, in the Middle Ages, the church crowned they crowned kings. They had more, the Pope had more power than some of the kings during the Middle Ages. He was the one that would crown them. The beast probably doesn't want to have a rival, and the ten kings, under the beast's authority, they destroy this church. And the women, which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, there might be more than one great city. That might mean Rome, but there is a city called Babylon, Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, And I was just talking about where the beast power dwells, I believe. And it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich. So she was a very powerful city, which many people in the world were getting wealthy from in trading. And I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, again. So God's people that are living in this system or in this city are to come out of her. And that means spiritually, don't partake of what's going on there, but it also means physically at this time, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Sounds like Sodom, right? God comes down with the angels, I've heard the cries of the people here, I'm going to go look and see what's going on in Sodom. And God remembered the iniquities of Sodom. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and I'm not a widow, and shall see no sorrow. So that pride that we saw in Sodom and Gomorrah. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. Just like the plagues came to Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Revelation 16. Revelation 16 and verse 17. This is the destruction of Babylon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And a great city was divided, talking about Babylon, into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. So other cities also. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Just like Sodom came to the remembrance of God. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. I think a talent's about 60 pounds. Imagine getting hit by a piece of 60-pound hail coming out of the sky. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague was exceedingly great. So we see that men are not going to repent, those that have the mark of the beast. But they're going to blaspheme God. And Revelation 18 and verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. I think I read that already. Therefore shall her plagues come one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Verse 16. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones. For in one hour so great riches is come to nothing. And, verse 19. And the people that had business with Babylon and were getting rich from Babylon, they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour is she made desolate. Verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. So the beast power at Babylon made war with the prophets and the saints, and many are going to be martyred at that time. And this is right before the return of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ is going to return. We're going to have the first resurrection, when the dead in Christ will rise. The people who are alive at that time are in Christ. They will be rise into the air and become spirit. And Christ will return and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. But before that, of course, he will land on the Mount of Olives. And we're going to be there with him, because not only is he coming with the angels, but he's coming with those that have been resurrected. First resurrection. We're called the saints. And we're going to witness Jesus Christ and the angels destroying the beast power and the false prophet and imprisoning Satan for 1,000 years. So we see that at the end time, the lessons of Babylon and the warnings of Babylon are going to be prevailed. So we're not to forget Sodom and Gomorrah, and always remember that we are to come out of this world and don't look back. Remember Lot's wife.